which one of these stands I take. Okay. It's my granddaughter being ushered out over there. Because she will cause problems. So she gets it from her nana over there. All right, I need everybody to stand up. Okay. We're all going to stand up. You think it's for like the reading of God's word, right? Well, it's not. I want you to do something with me, okay? So I want everybody to put your hands out like this, right? And then wiggle your fingers like this. All right. Now then, okay? The title of the message is So Shine. And so that's what I want you to do. I want you to so shine. So everybody say it with me, all right? So shine. All right, do it one more time with a little feeling, all right? Put it in there. Ready? So shine. There you go. All right, good job. Now that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we will go ahead and pray while you're standing, all right? You almost sat down. You used to sit down up here, I know. Father, we thank you. What a blessing, a privilege to be in your house. We pray that you would bless our time together. We thank you for what we've already heard and shared. Tremendous message in the songs that we heard. We appreciate the praise team and their sharing and ministering to us there. And we thank you for the words of those songs and what they said. And truthfully, even if we just were to listen to those messages in those songs, it would have been a benefit for us to have come here this morning. And so we appreciate that. And then, of course, the children's message. We certainly do need to cling to you. We need to hold on to you as tight as we can each and every day. So we thank you for that. And we pray now that you would continue to bless. May you speak through me. Get me out of the way. Get me to the side and share the thoughts that you would have come across. And may your Holy Spirit be able to work and move and speak to each and every one that's here this morning so that we can learn a little bit more about this aspect of shining as we should for you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you out of Matthew chapter 5. And so you can take and look there. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse number 14, I don't know if you have a Bible handy or scripture in your phone or an iPad or whatever, but in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, particularly if you use the New King James Version or one of those versions, now some of them say it a little differently and change the wording a little bit, but I like the way it puts it in the New King James Version when it simply says this: you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And so I want to take just a few moments and let's unpack that statement for just a moment here at the beginning of our thoughts that we're going to share. You are the light of the world. And if you have an outline, and I hope you do, there were some on the table in there, and I'm going to be able to go through that with you, and I think they're going to put the answers up on the monitor for you. If not, if you want to get one, if there's maybe anybody, does anybody need an outline? You didn't get one, you didn't grab one, anybody can help? Get that? Everybody good? All right, everybody's got one. Either that or you're lying, one of the two. And if you are, you need to come to the altar immediately, all right? But if you need one, they're out there. And the first thought on there, there's some things that, some statements about this phrase, you are the light of the world. And the first thing I want you to notice is that it is a statement of fact. There's no question about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's you are the light of the world. And let me just put this underneath each one of these thoughts quickly, and that is simply this. If you are a believer, if you are a believer, if you're someone that trusts in Christ, you put your faith and trust in Him, you realize at some point in your life you were a sinner, and that sin was going to keep you separated from God for all eternity, and you realize that, maybe somebody shared that with you, maybe you heard it in a message, maybe you heard it being preached somewhere on a radio, or you saw it on a TV sermon or something, and you realize that that sin was going to keep you from God, and you realize that being a sinner was the problem, and that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, paid the price for our sin, and that we simply need to accept Him as our Savior. That's what becoming a believer is all about. I'm a sinner. It's a price to be paid for sin. Jesus paid it on the cross. I accept His free gift. Therefore, by believing in Him, I become a part of his family. And so if you are a believer, then you are, statement of fact, you are the light of the world. He's not asking us to be a light. He is telling us we are the light. For this world, you are the light of this world. Secondly, not only is it a statement of fact, but it is a statement of function. It is a statement of function. Again, if you are a believer, then your function or your purpose is to light up the world. It's a statement of function, a statement of fact. You are the light of the world, and in doing so or in being so, our function is to shine that light in this world. We are the light of the world. Not only is it a statement of fact and a function, but thirdly, it is a statement of freedom. It is a statement of freedom. If you are a believer, then your light is the freedom or the hope of the world. You being light in darkness is the freedom or the hope of the world. And so he says we are the light of the world. You say you are the light of the world. Now I brought some lights with me that I want to use for illustration. Oh, this thing's heavy. Not my box, but this thing. Rah! All right. And put this right over here. That works good. All right. Notice it's a Sam's Club box. Sam, see? Sam's. It's my box. So it's my box. All right. Now then, it says you are the light of the world, and I have several different lights in here. The first light is a little candle, single candle. This is what they base all lights off of, right? One candle power. Well, that's it right there. That nice little candle. So that's a light. I'll put these over here and then I'll put them back in the box. That's a candle. That's a light. Here's a little bit bigger candle. Okay. Same kind of a thought there. That's a candle. That's a light. Different kinds of lights. Then we have a different light here. This is just a work light and has different functions, but it's a light. So that's a light. And remember, you are the light of the world. These are just different kinds of lights. This is a different kind of light. How many of you grew up with one of these kinds of lights, huh? All right, a few. All right. So we've got that as a different kind of light. And then we've got flashlight. Now, these used to be really good flashlights in the sense that they were bright. They were about the best kind you could get. You could get one of these mag lights. So that's a flashlight. That's a different kind of a light. So all different kinds. And what I'm showing to you is that we're the light of the world, but there's different lights, okay? Different lights. Now, we've got this one here. Now, I like this one because it is so bright. This is the one, you know, that you see on television that they scare away all the burglars, you know, and you make it different sizes. And I think if not this one, I got one at the house that it flashes and it has a different kind. So there's a light, a smaller light. It's a flashlight, same kind, but a smaller one. And so different lights can put out different powers, different. Now, I've got one here that I want to show you. Now, this is a light. I love this light, and I'm not going to turn it on because it hasn't been charged of lately, but it would blind everybody in here if I did. But notice here, 15 million candle power. 15 million. That's taking this little guy down here and multiplying him by 15 million. And I love this light. I think it's awesome. I call this the Billy Graham light, all right? This is the big light. So if this is me, then that's Billy Graham, all right? So there's a comparison, all right? So that's what we have. So we have all these different kinds of lights. But verse 14 simply says this: you are the light of the world. It doesn't say shine as bright as someone else. God's word is not telling us that because we're the light of the world that I have to outshine another light. He simply says you are the light. Whatever size light you are, that's who you are. He doesn't say to outshine anybody else. He doesn't say to shine as bright as someone else. He doesn't say to outshine someone else. And the Bible doesn't say to shine like someone else. Boy, if I could only shine like Billy Graham, if I could only be as bright as he was, if I could only talk to as many people and preach the gospel to as many people, if I could only be as bright as Billy Graham, if I could only be as bright as someone else. But that's not what God's word says. It says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And it says that God has created you. He has created you exactly the way that he wants you to be. He doesn't desire that you become or be like somebody else. And it doesn't matter. Listen, big or little, short or tall, God made us all. He made us to be the light that we are meant to be. So I want to talk to you today, this morning, about the who, what, when, where, why, and how. You know, the old newspaper kind of a thing. And I want to share those thoughts with you here. And the when, let me just tell you right now, the when is all the time. The when is all the time. So we're back to that idea of so shine. So shine. The who, the what, when, where, why, and how. And the first one is simply this. This gives us the who. Who is the, we are the light of the world because we are in Christ and he is the true light of the world. John chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 9 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now we see the who we are. Who we are. We are the light of the world. So that's the who. Well, what about the what? What are we supposed to do? As being the light of the world, what are we supposed to do? Well, if you look in Matthew 5, verse 14 and 15, you'll find that it talks there that you are a city that is set on a hill. You are a lampstand. If you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. They don't hide it under a bushel, some versions say, or under a bowl, or under a bed. Who, by the way, would ever put a candle, a lit candle, underneath their bed? Something not right about that, I'm telling you. I don't know why they did that back then, but that's what he's saying. You don't take a light and hide it. You don't put it away. So he simply says what we're supposed to do is we're to be a city on a hill. We are to be a lampstand that's standing in the house, giving light to all that enter. They are not to be hidden or covered up. We're not to do that. And verse 16 says, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. We need to be shining. Listen to a couple of verses. Proverbs 15:30 says, the light, and listen to the words in these verses, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. That's why we're to shine. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, get this, as a light to the Gentiles. In John chapter 12 and verse 46 says, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He says, if you trust in me, then you are a light. You go out of darkness into the light. And God told the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, he says, I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. He says, you're the light, and you're to be shining as the light in the world. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness,
who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we are the light of the world. What are we to do? Well, we're to shine. We're to be that light. It doesn't matter if you're the big light or a little light. He doesn't compare us. He doesn't make this comparison. He simply says, you are the light, so shine. So shine. But where? Where do we shine? We know who is the light. We know what we're supposed to be doing is shining, but where? And the when, of course, is all the time. We mentioned that. But the where do we shine? Well, verse 16 gives us the answer to that. It says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. What does that mean? Out in the open. We're not supposed to be. Have you ever had this experience where you work with somebody for maybe years or you've known them for years, and then when some kind of a tragedy comes along or something happens, all of a sudden you find out that they are a believer? They've been sort of living that life in the shadows, living that life hidden, set aside, not shining for Christ, not being a light that they are, not shining, letting their light shine through. So where do we shine? Before men, out in the open, as it said in verse 14, on a hill, up on a, it says there, you put a city up on a hill. Well, you can see that. From all around it, you can see that. That's why they put it up there, to be seen, to be noticed, to be found, to be looked at. And so that's what we're to be. We're to like to be like a city on a hill or a candle on a lampstand in the house and not hidden under basket. We used to sing that song, right? Hide it under a bushel, no. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I see some of you nodding your head. You want to sing. Jump in there. It's all right. Right? That's what we sing. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, right? And so that's what we're not to be hidden. We're not to be under a bed or under a basket. We are to be light to everyone, everywhere, in all circumstances. Everywhere to everyone in all circumstances. Well, what is that before men? Well, guys, listen, that's pretty simple. Before men, that means before other people that you know. That means before the person at the bank, at the gas station, the grocery store. You're to be a light shining before your family. You're to be a light shining before the people that you work with and work around and work for. You're to be a light shining for the lost. You're to be a light shining in front of the saved because, by the way, and I throw that in there simply because that is very much an encouragement to other believers when you let your light shine and they see that. Because if you're the only Christian it's always encouraging to see other believers shining, letting their light shine. However many of you go to a restaurant and you are more encouraged to bow your head and pray before you eat your meal when you see other people around you who have bowed their head and prayed and before they ate. Because, man, that gives me encouragement. That gives me boldness. Hey, I know those people over there, and they prayed. They bowed their head. So, you want to go, all right, everybody in the restaurant, dear Lord, bless the food, thank you for it, amen. So, you want to get it in there. But you're not always encouraged, if you know. But when you see other ones, so we're to let our light shine before the saved, before the lost, before our workers, before our neighbors. Do your neighbors even know you are a believer? That's a tough question. Are your friends that you need to let your light shine before? And it goes on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, let your light so shine before men. That's everywhere. That's everybody. That's all the time. Well, he's got it in here. You're the light of the world. City on a hill, so on. Let your light so shine. We know who's supposed to shine. We know, where you're supposed to shine. We know what you're supposed to be doing is shining. And you're supposed to do it all the time. But why? Can't we just leave that up to the preachers of the world and those fanatics and those Billy Grahams Can't we just do that? Well, this is what God's word says. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why are we supposed to shine? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the why. That's why we're supposed to be shining. So that they will see us, not for what we're doing, not the fact that we are all that special or a big deal, but they see us and then they see God. They see us and they glorify God. God is working in their life. God is using them. God is letting them be a blessing. God is helping them to shine their light in darkness. And so that darkness can then find its way. We do it so that they can see our good works and glorify the Father. They see you, they glorify Him. We do the glowing, and He gets the glory. And if we're not glowing, He's not showing. That's the way I like it. If we're not glowing, He's not showing. They're not seeing God in us. They're not seeing that. And let me tell you, write this down on your paper somewhere, because I thought this was so profound when I heard it. I actually like to think every now and then that I thought it up, but I think I actually heard it. But it says this, darkness needs the light to find its way. Darkness needs the light to find its way. You can't get out of darkness without the light. Even, guys, and I say even, not to put this down, but even with a light that small, that light that small will dispel the darkness. And if that's the light that you are, again, not a comparison, but if that's all we are, is that one candlelight power of light, that will show people the way out of darkness. And so he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, what you're doing, and then glorify God. John 1:5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Talking about Jesus coming to this world. What'd they do? They crucified, they killed him. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But John bore witness. Now get this. John is bearing witness of the light. John the Baptist was saying, that is Jesus coming. He's the true light. He's the one light. Now, in comparison to John the Baptist, he's this light, and the one he's pointing to is this light. And so even in that little comparison there, he's saying, look, that is the light. But the Bible says they saw John witnessing about Jesus, and in doing so, John bore witness of the light that all through him might believe. He simply pointed to Jesus. And if that's all we do, it's amazing. It's awesome. It's colossal. It can be, God can use that and save souls. John so shined, and they saw his good works, and they turned to Jesus, which brought glory to God. That's what we're to do. Well, if that's the why we're supposed to do it, to bring glory to God, he says you're the light, you're supposed to shine, and if you do, and you do it, then others will see that, and they'll glorify me. That's a purpose there. So how then? How? How do we stay shining bright? How do we stay shining bright? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to ask another question, and that is simply this. What makes our light go dim? If we're supposed to shine and shine bright, I think asking what makes us grow dim is an important question. So let's look at this. How does our light grow weak? First of all, it grows weak through disobedience. Disobedience. When we disobey, a very familiar portion of Scripture over in Genesis in chapter 3, we know this as the fall of man right here is where Adam and Eve, you know, they disobey God. And in Genesis 3 and verse 8, it says, when they heard the Lord God walking in the garden during the cool part of the day, And the man and his wife, they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, and he said, "Where are you?" And the man answered, "I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat fruit from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" Disobedience. They disobeyed. They disobeyed, and it doesn't matter. We know the results of all of that, who blamed who and who ended up getting the biggest punishment and all the rest of it. But it was simply that. They disobeyed, and disobedience is what causes our light to grow dim and to grow weak. We ought to be a bright light in the world. We ought to shine as brightly as we can, but sometimes when we disobey God, sin gets in the way and our light becomes dull, dim. So disobedience is a problem. 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." That's Jesus. "He who says he is in the light," because we are light of the world, we're supposed to be light. He says, "He who says that he's in the light but hates his brother, he is in darkness until now." Sin separates, disobedience. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Job 24:13. "There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its paths." They rebel against the light. They sin, disobedience. So one of the things that causes our light to be weakened, to grow dim, is disobedience. The other one is simply disconnect. Disconnect. There are times when we just disconnect from God. We just disconnect from what's going on and what we know is right in our life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, then we lie and we don't practice the truth." Disconnect. Disconnect. I was making a trip. Well, my wife and I was making a trip down to Texas here a while back, and I owned a little black Chevy S10. Love that little truck. I really did. I enjoyed driving all the time. We were making this trip down there, and all of a sudden, the silly thing started sputtering, and then it just died. And then all of a sudden, I hated my little Chevy S10. But we get this thing over to a gas station, and we start making some calls, and I forget where we were at down there. We were somewhere between here and Dallas, and not too far from there. Near Sherman, I think it was. But we pulled over, so I started making phone calls. Well, I thought, the great mechanic I am, I thought it was the fuel pump. So I started, and this was a mistake I found out later, I started directing these mechanics who finally came and would look at it to the fuel pump. So they, in my trucks, the only way you can do this, you have to take the bed off the back of the truck to get to this fuel tank. I had no idea that was the way it was. In order to change out the fuel pump inside this, they had to take the bed off the back, they had to take the fuel tank out, take the fuel pump out. Well, they replaced it for about, I think it was $300 or $400, maybe $500, I can't remember. And so we're going down the road. We get, I don't know how far we got, not very far. All of a sudden, it did the exact same thing. And this was after a night, I think we spent a night in a motel. And we hung out in this little town that we hated and didn't, know anybody or anything. And we ate at a Mexican restaurant, which is not my wife's favorite. So, we're just really, everything's bad at this point. And so, other than she's getting to spend time with me, which was a blessing. So, she had to weigh the good with the bad. So, we start going down the road, and it does the same thing. And I couldn't for the life of me figure it out. Well, I call these guys back, and they're like, "Well, we don't know. We put the fuel pump in." It's like, "Yeah, well, still, I'm doing the same thing." So we drive it, and what we found out was that if we replaced a fuse, there was a little fuse, right, that would blow. If we put a new fuse in it, it would run for a while. That's how we got it to the place to begin with. So it would run for a while. Which, if you're a mechanic and you're sitting there going, "This guy's an idiot," and I was, if you're a mechanic. But so we'd replace this fuse, and it would go, and then it would die. And then I'd replace that fuse, and it'd go a little, and sometimes it would go a long ways. Sometimes we could get a lot of miles out of it. And then sometimes it would die instantly. It was the craziest thing. And so we're driving, and we got down there. It was a funeral, I think we were going to or something. And we did that, and we're going back home. Well, it's doing this all the way from all the way from Texas to Kansas. I did this. We'd be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, it would die. And so we'd pull off, and I bought every fuse I could find between there and Dallas and back, and I'm putting this little fuse in it every time. Sometimes it would work. We'd drive, and then one, we were coming back, and it died right by this bar. You talk about seedy and scary. I said, honey, why don't you go in there and see if there's anybody that has any fuses? And she wouldn't do it. I don't know what the deal was. And so I said, well, I got one left here. We'll try it. So we got home. And I'm thinking, this is not right. There's something. So I began to look at my truck. And I got to thinking, you know, if something's blowing that fuse, right? It's like all of a sudden, oh, he's finally waking up, duh, you know? If something's blowing that fuse, there's a problem somewhere. So I began to trace wires, right? Had absolutely nothing to do with a fuel pump. I have a brand new fuel pump, and I didn't need a new one. I got a new fuel pump, and what happened was, back down by the motor where it gets hot, a wire had burned in half. And so every time that wire would wiggle when the motor was running or down the road and you bounce, if it stayed together, I was okay. But if it became disconnected, it would blow that fuse. Or if it shorted, and it'd blow the fuse. So we did that for two days or better. And the whole thing was simply, I took a piece of black electrical tape, put them together, wired it up, and it ran fine. I never had a problem with it. Stupid fuse. Isn't that crazy? But guys, that's exactly what happens in our life with God. If we become disconnected, it's off and on and not working, and we're in the dark, and we're not a light, and we're not shining. Became disconnected. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, this is daily, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The disobedience and the disconnect. Isaiah 58:10 says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Just letting your light shine, guys. That's what we're talking about. And so there's a third thing that'll separate us, and that's distance. Distance. Not only the disconnect and so on, but the distance. Sometimes we let too much space come between us and the Lord. Goes back to that children's clinging. Clinging. It's an excellent example. Clinging. And we let too much distance come between us. We don't take time for prayer. And we don't take time for Bible reading. We don't take time for fellowship. We don't take time for practicing the fruits of the Spirit. We don't take time with daily walking with Him. And that's all it takes, guys. And we let distance get in there. Psalm 89 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Listen, they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They walk in the light of your countenance. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Isaiah 2:5 says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Not to become disconnected, not to have that distance. And the last one is dullness. There just becomes a dullness in our life because we hide it. That's when we're hiding it under a bushel. That's when we're hiding it, you know, under a rock. We're not putting it on the candlestick to let everybody see it. We're hiding it. Matthew 5:15 says, under a basket. Luke 8:16 says, putting it under a bed. Luke 11:33 says, puts it in a secret place. That's the problem with some of us. We have a secret place and we hide our light there. We don't want anybody to see it. We don't want them to know. And Luke 11:33 says, puts it in that secret place. Luke 11:36 says, if then your whole body is full of light. Get this. If your whole body is full of light, there's no darkness, there's no dullness, there's no disconnect. All of it's going on right. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, then the whole body will be full of light. That makes sense, doesn't it? If there's no dark, it's full of light, as when the bright shining of the lamp gives you light. And that's what we're supposed to be like. So, how do we keep shining bright? We stay obedient, we stay connected, we stay close, and we stay in the light. You, guys, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, all right? So everybody right here. So shine. That's what we're to do, to shine. Now I need a couple of guys to help me here real quick, or girls, I don't care. Does anybody want to help? No, but there's no volunteers. Everybody, I don't want to shine anywhere. I don't want to do nothing. Said that. All right, well, I've got something here for everybody. I want everybody to have one, all right? So you can either, some guys can help me pass them around, or ladies can help me pass them around. Take a handful and pass them out, or take the bag and just make sure everybody gets one, all right?
Can you take the bag?
Yeah, you can take the bag. You can take the bag. Yeah, take the bag, all right? Make sure everybody gets one, all right? And see, I took one earlier. It's in my pocket. All right? This is what I call the starter kit, all right? This is the So Shine starter kit. I really wanted to buy you guys all a flashlight, but Amazon couldn't get them here in time, all right? So this was my plan B, all right? This worked out. But this is my little starter, So Shine starter kit. So I want you to take one, and everybody have one. So this is just a light. Now, again, I am not at all ever, and throughout this whole entire message, comparing my light to your light or your light to anybody else's light. This is just a starter kit. This may be where I'm at. This may be all the light that I can do. I can do this one little teacup candle light. I can put this out there, right? But some of you, your light may already be designed to be a greater light, a bigger light, a brighter light. You may be up in this area somewhere. You may be able to do way more than maybe somebody else. Maybe this light is a prayer light or just a witness light, or maybe a handout tracks kind of a light, or maybe just to be faithful in working with boys and girls in Sunday school or junior church or vacation Bible school. Maybe that's what this light is for you. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're a homemaker, you're a mom, and you don't get out a whole lot, but you do usually buy groceries or you get gas, those kinds of things. So you can be that light in that place, wherever you can be. So that maybe is just, it's just a starter kit, just a thought there. Your light may go way up here, and you may be sitting here this morning, and you may literally be a Billy Graham. You may have 15 million candle power watts of light. Guys, all I'm saying is whatever light you are, it says you are the light, and it never says you're a little light, you're a tiny light, you're a miserable light, you're light, but you're bad at it, you know? He doesn't say that. He says, you're a light. If you're a light, then what? So shine. Shine. Wherever God gives you that opportunity, shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. Never for us to draw attention, but so that they see what we're doing and go, wow, God's awesome. Look at him looking and working in that light. So shine. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being with these good folks. Appreciate them and their faithfulness and their ministry here at this church. And thank you for their good pastor. May you bless him as he's on vacation. And Lord, help us to just learn some thoughts this morning. And that is simply that you've called us, you've made us the light of this world. And we're supposed to shine. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is shining for you, shining before men, Lord, that they might see the things that are going on, and we might, then they would glorify you. They would, but that we would shine and bring light to the darkness. Maybe there's a family member that's never trusted you. Maybe there's a coworker. Maybe there's a neighbor, somebody that we have contact with on some kind of a regular, similar basis. And Lord, all of those are opportunities for us to just shine. I'm not saying somebody needs to walk up to that lost person and start quoting scriptures and giving them theories and deep detail, but simply to say, hey, I love you. I'm a believer, and I can see you're hurting. I want to pray for you. That's a light. That's a witness. That's a light in the darkness. And God, you may turn that light on for that person, change their life. And they may be the next Billy Graham. They may be the one that writes the book or pens the music that changes hearts and minds and lives around this world. We just don't know. But if we become disconnected and dull, distant in our life, then we don't shine. Those things won't happen. So, dear Lord, I pray, help us to so shine every day in every place that we are. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen.